Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoyed this message by Stephen Cady. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your children shall prophesy, your elders shall dream dreams, and your youth shall see visions. 58 years ago, a man came to Asbury First in need of a pair of pants. And a tiny woman with a big heart, among others, dreamed. 33 years ago, the Reverend Margie Mason asked her spring Bible study, "What can we do to help others?" And a retired school teacher, among others, dreamed. 15 years ago, a visioning table wondered aloud how we might help those who are uninsured and underinsured in our region. And a physician, among others, dreamed. We could keep going, of course, not just to the dreams that formed our clothing ministry or our meal ministry or our medical clinic. We could tell about the dreams that were at the foundation of the community garden or the grocery bag ministry or our bicycle repair partnership. We could spin a yarn about the start of our showers or laundry or hair care, but in the end, they all basically tell the same story, the story of incarnation. The story of a dream brought to life by God's grace. The story of people who knew that it wouldn't happen overnight and yet dared to dream together. Who knew that it would take time and that they did not dream alone. The good news, friends, is that neither do we. So, Asbury First, what do we dream today? We're in a season of dreaming together as a congregation about who we are and who God is calling us to be, in a season in which we're wondering what God is calling us to bring to life, what God is working in us to bring to life in this world. We're in this moment in which we look around the world at what is and ask what could be. Only if we're honest, it's a little hard to do these days. We, after all, as people of faith, are not immune to the cynicism of this world. We, just like everybody else, look around and we see the pain and the segregation and the racism and the homophobia and anything else that you see in this world, the violence, and we think to ourselves, nothing can really be done. We throw up our hands thinking, well, we can't really do anything about it, and so we go back to our thing. Sure, we might go into that cycle of outrage, but we land pretty quickly back into that apathy, and it is there, if we're really honest, that we have gotten used to staying. And the kicker is that it's not just out there. It's in here too, isn't it? We claim to be more connected than ever before, and yet so many of us are more isolated, lonelier than we ever remember. Maybe some of us are there this morning, knowing that something needs to change out there or in here, and yet not really believing that it can. And yet, here we are. Somehow, almost miraculously, we made it to church this morning. Some of us in person, some of us virtually, and if you're watching on the podcast, you've still got credit for today. That is, you've found your way into this space here. The question is, why? Why did you come today? Not so long ago, of course, it wouldn't have been a surprise to see people turning to the church for meaning and belonging. But today, given the state of our world, given the state of the church, we know the statistics, don't we? Fewer and fewer people these days are stumbling into a church. Fewer and fewer people are bothering to darken the door of a church, and we don't blame them. We know they have good reasons. They look at the patriarchy, the misogyny, the racism, and that's just the start of the list. In other words, we recognize that though that is not who we actually are as people of faith, we know that that's who we have been as a church. That is, big C, the church has failed so often to live into who God is calling us to be. We have too often looked around our world and just kept doing what everybody else was doing. In other words, we don't blame people for staying away, and yet, here you are. Maybe for the first time, maybe for the last. But something brought you here today. Why? Maybe somewhere deep down you recognize that we need each other. That we may not be perfect. We may fail over and over again as an institution, big C and little c. But we're more perfect together than we are apart. And that if we are going to try and make a difference in this world, then we have to surround ourselves with people who actually believe that change is possible, and that is who we are, despite all the evidence to the contrary, despite all of the cynicism that surrounds us in this world. At our very core, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we are people who believe that what is not what has to be. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we believe that things can change. It takes hard work, but they can. We, as disciples of Jesus Christ, believe that we are the ones who have to hold on to hope in this world. And we are unwilling to be complicit in apathy. We are here because, as imperfect as we are, we know that we are more perfect together than we are apart. And that we'd rather stumble our way forward together than shrivel up and die on our own. And so we gather together week after week and dare to dream. Howard Thurman said that a dream is the opening of possibilities, of an expanded horizon, of a new hope. And so, friends, Asbury First, what do you hope? What, Asbury First, do you dream of today? Isaiah was writing to a people who were also struggling a little with hope. They were looking around at all their world falling apart. In some ways, quite literally, you heard Ariel be the name mentioned in the passage. That's another name for Jerusalem. That is, they were standing there under siege, looking out, and all they could see was death and pain and destruction. That sounds familiar to some of us. We look around our world and it feels like that's all we see. And yet Isaiah had the audacity into that world to proclaim hope. Like a light shining in the darkness, he proclaimed hope into that dark world. Not an easy hope, not a cheap hope. He was honest with them. He said, some of you may go to sleep hungry, dream of food, and still wake up hungry. You may go to bed thirsty, dream of something to drink, and still wake up thirsty. In other words, he didn't promise them what he couldn't, that everything would work out, that they wouldn't have to face pain. As we know from our own experience, all of us do. At some point in life, we all have to face pain and hardship and loss and challenge and death. All of us face it. And yet he did promise what he could, which was that no matter the pain, they didn't have to face it alone, that God was with them in the pain. The good news, friends, is that the same thing is true for us. It was that hope that allowed the Israelite people, those people of Judah, to pray and to dream. Maybe it will allow us to do the same thing. But let's not kid ourselves. Just writing a dream on the board is not quite enough. Mary Webb, that 19th century poet, said it beautifully. She said, "You have to saddle your dreams before you ride them." We know that, don't we? We've experienced it lately, haven't we? Think about the community outreach center. We know that just dreaming about feeding hungry people is not the same thing as feeding hungry people. That we have these visions. 5 years ago, as a congregation, we recognized that our outreach ministries were all in the worst places, the most inaccessible places on our campus, and we cast a vision. We dreamed a dream of a community outreach center that brought people together, a kind of outpost for the kingdom of heaven. And yet, it didn't happen overnight. It took hard work and God's grace and all of us working together and continuing to dream our way forward. And while I could spend a lot of time talking about what that looks like, I thought it might be better to invite a friend here today, the Reverend Pat DuPont, our Minister for Outreach and the Director of the Community Outreach Center, to talk a little bit about what is happening at the Community Outreach Center and what it is like to bring that dream to life.
The Community Outreach Center, as Stephen has said, is an attempt of our Christian community to become an incarnation of the dream of God. That's what we're talking about when we describe the center as an outpost of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven as a place where everyone who is hungry is fed, everyone who is thirsty is given something to drink, everyone naked is clothed. The sick are made well, the lonely are visited, the imprisoned are set free, sinners are forgiven, and every person who knocks at the door has it open to them and is welcomed in and loved in recognition of the sacred truth that they are a valuable and treasured member and extension of the body of Christ. That is the kingdom that Jesus embodied during his earthly ministry. That's the kingdom that he announced was at hand and is breaking into this world. And that is the kingdom that is God's hope and dream for humanity and for all of creation. So here in our little corner of Rochester, we are trying to live into that dream and that kingdom. We are trying to offer ourselves and our resources to God to create a space where that vision can become incarnate and break a little further into our physical world. And I'm pleased to announce that as of the last month or so, all of the ministries of the center that we had planned in that space are fully up and running. They've been gradually opening since the beginning of this calendar year, and 1010 East Avenue is now a place where our community routinely gathers for hot meals, fresh produce, groceries, access to laundry machines, showers, haircuts, bicycle repair, doctor's visits, clothing, hygiene products, linens and blankets, and other household goods. In the month of August alone, we served 990 meals, offered 533 individual people clothing and other items, repaired 38 bicycles, provided space for 129 showers, 41 loads of laundry, and distributed 80 bags of groceries. In the first 6 months of this year alone, we saw just under 200 patients in our UR Well clinic. The numbers are staggering, but we also know, of course, that while they can be helpful, statistics can never really measure the fullness of ministry. And behind those numbers that I've shared, I know that there is also the community part of the Community Outreach Center, which is difficult to measure, but is just as important, I think, as our service provision. I know that our neighbors and our community members have shared in hours of conversation, both tears and laughter, prayer. I know that relationships have been nurtured and deepened. I know that hearts have been poured out and been made full. I know that spiritual education, Christian formation, and discipleship is happening as we work alongside and with one another. I know that the presence of the Holy Spirit has been profoundly felt in that place. Over the course of the last 5 years, the dream of the Community Outreach Center has shifted in a lot of ways. In the process of envisioning how our ministries would work in this new space, of renovating the building, of preparing it for ministry, and finally opening the doors to our broader community, we made a whole lot of plans. Some of them rolled out efficiently and effectively. Most of them had to be completely scrapped and reworked. Both staff members and volunteers have spent countless hours laboring to get us to the place where we are today. From the first inception of these ministries decades ago, some of them, to the opening of the center this year. We've inherited the dreams that came before us, and we continue to dream. Perhaps most importantly, we continue to prayerfully attempt to align our ongoing work with the dream of God, with that kingdom of heaven that is constantly unfolding around us. In this passage from Isaiah, the prophet says, "A hungry person can dream of eating and wake up still hungry. A thirsty person can dream of drinking and wake up still thirsty." Our hope is that if we are dreaming with God, if our dreams come from God, then perhaps not only will we not wake up hungry and thirsty, but maybe someday no one will wake up hungry or thirsty. I don't know what the future of the Community Outreach Center holds. Our social worker, Robin Manley, said at one of our volunteer orientations that we held this week that we are building the plane while we're flying it. And she's absolutely right. We're also trusting and hoping that God will keep us in the air and lead us where it is that we need to go. My spirit is filled when considering the possibilities of what God will do in that space, what new things will be born, and how the ministry that happens there will seep into our surrounding community and city. May we be witnesses to and participants in the incarnational activity of God in our midst. May we offer our hands and our hearts to the work of bringing God's dreams to fruition.
We have to saddle our dreams before we ride them. Sharing a dream is just the first step. To bring it to life takes work and God's grace and a people who are willing to change as the world changes. And while we know that the dreams we share today do not have the benefit of tomorrow's vision, we also trust that whatever comes, God will be there. 58 years ago, a man came to Asbury First in need of a pair of pants. And a tiny woman with a big heart dreamed. 5 years ago, our outreach ministries were in the worst places on our campus, and a congregation dreamed. So, Asbury First, what do you dream of today? I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your children shall prophesy. Your elders shall dream dreams, and your youth shall see visions. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.